Philippians 2:12, Paul says to the Philippians, Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening with joy in our hearts, I trust, Father, even if there are trouble or trial or anything of those sorts, Father, we can still be joyful, rejoicing in this day, knowing that you have made it, and we can be glad in it, Father. I thank you for this assurance, and I thank you for the word that gives us peace and gives us that joy and gives us strength and encouragement for our day, Father. Help us to take that for this evening. Help us to find joy in it together, Father. Encourage one another as we consider your word together and enjoy this time of prayer tonight. We give you the glory tonight and ask that you be honored and that we be fed by this, I ask tonight, in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you look at the Paul's epistles, his letters, one of the things that I enjoy about reading Paul's epistles, it's a little bit different than reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and so forth, the historical books, and the Psalms. Even the Psalms have some personal things in it from the writers themselves. But one of the things that I enjoy out of Paul's books is that it's written from a man to a group, or a man to a man, and it's him, there's a personal element to it that the other books oftentimes don't have, or other books that are not epistles or letters, such as, well, like Peter, his are letters, and Jude, and so on and so forth. These letters that are people writing to people, well, they have a certain context to them. Not just what is being addressed by the writer. Certainly it's God's word, and it's scripture, and the Holy Spirit moved and inspired these ones to write. And do so for a reason, because there were needs in these respective places and in the hearts of these people that were written to. But there's a real, well, there's a personal piece to it when you consider that it's a man writing. There is a certain personal element to it. There's a context there that Paul had for himself. He wrote these things during his own afflictions. He wrote these things during his own joys. He wrote them when he was stressed. He wrote them when he was older. Some were written when he was a bit younger and perhaps a little bit more vigorous physically, you might say. He wrote them from his own context. And when you consider that and understand that there was a man that was used and a man who was, again, inspired by the Spirit to do these things, it just brings kind of a personal feeling to these letters that I appreciate. I appreciate it because I can identify with that man. This man had a measure of love for these Philippian believers. We understand this. We know that he appreciated their fellowship. He appreciated the brotherhood that he shared with them. In the first chapter of this epistle, Philippians 1, verse 3, he told them, and I think that he meant this. This wasn't just lip service that he just spoke because he felt that he needed to. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He appreciated them, and he enjoyed that time of fellowship. Now, his personal context that he was writing from at this time was one that didn't allow that personal fellowship, that practical fellowship that took place. Listen, we have fellowship with believers who are, well removed from us that we don't even lay eyes on. We have fellowship with them as we're in the body of Christ, but there's a certain measure of practical fellowship that we enjoy one with another because we're here together tonight, and we enjoy that time together four times a week, perhaps, if that's what your choice is to do. Paul couldn't do this. He was imprisoned at the time. He talks about his chains. He talks about being in his chains and the result of his chains. He was writing from a measure of separation from them. He couldn't step across the street and just say hello to his brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Paul missed these folks. You can tell. You know what it is to miss people. I miss Bobby and Missy. I don't get to see them very often. My cousin's in town from Puerto Rico. I'll miss him when he leaves. I've missed him when we were separate before. I miss my folks, for goodness sake. They've been gone for about a week. They've been sick. I miss people. People that I love and people that I enjoy time with them. When you want to have their presence with you, when you don't get to enjoy that presence, you miss them. And Paul knew something about these ones, and he valued that fellowship, and he missed having that with them. Well, Paul knew something about good company. He spoke about it in 1 Corinthians 15:33. He said, evil company corrupts good habits. So on the contrary, good company, good encounters, good fellowship, good time with, well, good godly people, well, it can help promote good habits. So I think that he valued that. Just trying to kind of beat a dead horse here. He valued this fellowship, and he valued, well, the time that he had with them. Now, I think that Paul also understood human weakness, human tendencies, mankind's tendencies, because we're in these, well, these frail vessels that we occupy. And you don't have to merely hang out with someone of evil company or hang out with a bad crowd, I guess, to hinder yourself spiritually. And Paul understood this. You can hinder yourself by allowing yourself to change at all based on whomever it is that you're around, if you're around anyone at all. You can hinder yourself by allowing yourself to change on the outside, even when you're by yourself. Whether it's good company you occupy, bad company you occupy, or no company at all, if you allow your outward presentation to be changed based on the context that you are in, well, you're going to hinder yourself spiritually. You're going to, you're going to cause yourself some setbacks in the things of God. I was involved in a conversation some time ago. It was about a sensitive topic that someone had asked me my position on, my thoughts upon. It was something that Scripture addresses, and they wanted to know how I had dealt with it, and I expressed it to them, and I was very forthcoming with it. Didn't say anything that I regret, not in the slightest. It was a biblical presentation, biblical standing. It's very, very plain, and I was, well, quite frank and forthcoming about it. What I didn't understand was that there was someone within earshot who that situation was directly involving. I would not have changed anything that I thought. I wouldn't have changed, well, anything that I presented or any of the arguments or the statements that Scripture presents. But I might have changed the manner in which I said it. Does that make sense? I might have not snipped out anything, but presented it in a way that perhaps cushioned it, or at least was a little bit more sensitive in how it was received. You don't change your position, but you can change the manner in which it's presented. Paul was no stranger to this. He says, to the Jews, I became as the Jews, to those under the law, to those without the law, to the weak, I became all of these things. Did that mean that he shortchanged them from the message that he was given to present? No, it didn't mean that at all. In 1 Corinthians 9:22, it continues that thought there where he says, I have become all things to all men. 1 Corinthians 9:22, there it is. That I might by all means save some. He adjusted himself. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. It was his approach and the manner in which he might have presented the word of God that changed. It wasn't the word of God that changed. It wasn't his position that changed. It wasn't his message that changed. It was simply the manner, perhaps, in which he presented it still, always with the purpose that he might, in that manner, save some or bring them to salvation, bring them to a furthering on in the gospel. That was always his purpose, that I might be a partaker. It was for the gospel's sake that I might be a partaker with you, he said to the Corinthians. That's different than being different around different people. Presenting the gospel in an adjusted way is different than being a different person based on the context that you find yourself in. You've known ones who have flipped a switch, not literally but figuratively. Flip a switch when they're in front of God's people, they're a godly person. When they're in front of the straightforward or the straight-laced and the like, they act straight-laced. Put them in the context of someone who isn't straight-laced, who isn't godly, and all of a sudden, they flip a switch. You know, professional sports teams and professional athletes, they'll talk about it all the time. You know what, I'm kind of coasting through the season right now. When the playoffs come, I'll flip a switch, and I will all of a sudden become Superman. Some of them can do that. Some of them have that capability. I don't necessarily respect that. I'd rather see them play 100% throughout the season, but that's athletic stuff. We're talking about spiritual things here. It's not right to flip a switch based on the context you find yourself in, simply because it's more comfortable, perhaps, to act this way in that context and to act that way in that context. Now, In our text here in Philippians 2, Paul wasn't accusing the Philippians of doing this. He was warning them not to, exhorting them to not find themselves doing such things, because he recognized that tendency. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He recognized who he was. Paul was an authority figure to them. Paul was one who brought the grace message in, who elaborated, who took the law and said, this is what has been for these generations before. Look how Jesus fulfilled this law. Look how Jesus checked off all of these boxes, and now this is yours. He brought the message that was for us in this age. He brought it to him. So there's an authority figure that's there. There's a certain admiration and a respect that's there. And when you're around those that you admire and those that you respect, particularly in a spiritual context, oftentimes you tend to put on my best behavior and that sort of thing. When you're around your godly friends, you tend to put on your better behavior. When you're around those ones, kids, when you're around your parents, you know, maybe you don't put on your best behavior. I don't know. That's what I did. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. From time to time, I would know that when my parents walked in the door, I needed to act different. Let me say it that way. There's a certain measure of authority. And Paul recognized, he says, listen, when I was there, you knew who I was, you knew what I was doing, and rightly so and sincerely so, you joined me in fellowship, and we were mutually beneficial to one another spiritually. Now that I'm removed, now that you don't have my specter hanging over you, make sure that you, in my absence, well, work harder. Not work harder, but, well, work this out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean to work until you have salvation, but it in part means present the salvation that you own and let your testimony be present. Let your testimony be visible. Let the light that shines in you shine and shine brightly. Not because I'm there, but much more because I'm absent. Hold one another accountable. Hold yourself accountable before the Lord. He recognized who he was to them, and he wanted them to, well, not just behave a certain way because of his presence, but because they were sincere and genuine, and because they loved the Lord. It's the benefit of assembling, part of it is. It's why we get together these four times a week, because there is a blessing and an encouragement, and even a holding each other accountable that comes with, well, just our being together and seeing one another and keeping up and maintaining a contact and maintaining a dialogue so that we can, well, do as he said in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, to maintain that, to keep one another encouraged, to maintain that, well, that love and good works and that affection and that, again, that accountability and encouragement, to hold one another to their testimony, to encourage one another to hold their testimony, to encourage one another to hold fast to who you are, and that's a child of God. One that loves the Lord, well, even if you have a difficult time saying it, and I'm not saying that anyone here does, but oftentimes we can have a difficult time. That new man within us, he loves the Lord. She loves the Lord. That new one inside of us wants to shine and shine brightly, and so we should hold one another accountable. And even when there isn't someone present, even in the absence of Paul, or in the absence of your parents, or in the absence of your godly friends, or the absence of your church family, in the absence of someone there who can look over your shoulder and say, oh, you know what, I need to. No, in the absence of that, you recognize he's always present. He's always looking. He's never absent. We're always before him. So as Paul goes on to these ones in Philippians 2, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. No matter who you're with, he's saying, no matter who you're among, shine, holding fast the word of life, holding fast and dear and close that word that reflects and represents the Lord Jesus. Don't flip a switch, child of God. Leave the switch on always, no matter who we're with. We're always before the Lord, no matter if we're present in good company, in bad company, in no company at all. The Lord is present always. Don't flip a switch. Leave it on and be the child of God that loves the Lord and shows it no matter the context.